Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you have something to say and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details or contact us at pr@speakuptalkradio.com. Well, right now, we have a short interview with an award-winning historical mysteries and suspense author whose books are based in the 1910s in St. Louis. She is Jo Allison. Jo's books center on a young, new woman who works for the St. Louis Police. There are 5 books so far in the Julia Nye mystery series. Allison drives family and librarians crazy with the depth of her research on the city and on the time period, but delights readers who like their mysteries historical. She now lives in Bristol, Virginia, but visits St. Louis frequently along with other potential settings. Her reporting background is reflected in the series through 2 important male characters who report for St. Louis newspapers. And I know I'm interested to find out more about this new woman, so let's get going. Welcome to the network, Jo.
Thank you. I'm pleased to be here.
I'm pleased to have you here. Before we begin with your books, tell us just a little bit about your background as a reporter, because I'm sure it plays a big part in your books, especially, as I mentioned in the introduction, with your penchant for research.
Absolutely, it does. I was a reporter for many years. I have a degree in journalism, and I reported in the Midwest, where these books are set. And it was a long time ago in some ways, and sometimes I think back to the old typewriters I used, and I think, my gosh, that was sort of closer to 1910 than it would be to 2010, but not quite. Back in the day when I was reporting, newspapers were still the primary vehicle for news, and that is certainly true in 1910. Newspapers are critically important. So I've enjoyed using my newspaper background for 2 of my characters.
No, I would imagine that was an exciting time back in the day when, as you say, the traditional way of reporting the news and reading that paper every morning, I still miss that.
Yes, it really was a different piece of culture.
Yep.
that we've lost to a certain extent.
No, I agree. And you know what I do love, Jo, that you use a pen name as an homage to your great-grandmother. I just think that's so exciting. Just tell us a bit about that.
Well, for one thing, after I was reporting, my husband and I moved around a good bit, and I lost some of those reporting connections, so I became an academic. And I have a lot of academic publications that people would not necessarily enjoy reading. They're pretty obscure. And so I did not want to use the name that I use for those publications. And it's sort of an obvious piece to pick up my great-grandmother, you know, who died actually just about the time these characters were doing their thing. So I've always liked her name. And of course, she was Josephine Allison, not Jo. But I'm pleased to use her name.
Well, I'm partial to Josephine as well. It's my mom's name. And I have a cat named Jojo. So Jo's are all around my place here.
There you go.
There you go is right. Well, now tell us, what is a new woman and why would one work for the St. Louis Police Department in 1910?
Okay. A new woman at the time was someone who rejected what was commonly known as the women's sphere of influence. She would likely work outside the home and do it willingly. I mean, do it as a career sort of option and maybe not even consider marriage, or at least consider a career and marriage, which for the time was very unusual. Likely a suffragist, because women did not have the vote in 1910, and just somebody who was unconventional in general. It is actually ahistorical to have one work for the St. Louis Police. The police had police matrons who ran the jails, but those were the only women who would work for the police back then. So I've sort of bent this one a little bit to get her in as a typist. The backstory is that her father, who's a sheriff off in another county, and the police chief were old buddies. And so the police chief gives her a job as a typist, typing reports, which would have been handwritten for the most part back then. And so what happens is she starts as a typist, but they discover that she has investigative skills. She is a wonderful shot, and in one book she becomes the department's sharpshooter. In another book she goes undercover to work in a garment factory, which only a woman could do. So they began to see that a woman has other abilities other than just typing. And St. Louis I picked because I'm originally from Missouri, but I'm not from St. Louis. I'm from the southwestern part of the state. But I now live in Virginia, and I have for a number of years. And my husband and I always had to go back to that area to visit our aging parents. Twice a year we would make that trip, and we would go through St. Louis. And I would drive the city to see what was there in 1910 as opposed to what had been built since. And I would stop at libraries. And so I learned the city because that seemed a good place to set this kind of new woman experience.
Oh, I like that. And, you know, as I was thinking about a new woman, what do we have today that would be a new woman?
Well, you know, the things I just described sound like all of us. But let me tell you something interesting. When I first started this, I thought, oh, this is a bad idea. Women in the 21st century are not going to be able to relate to someone who couldn't vote, who, you know, who had to be unconventional to do these things. But, you know, books are really about people. I mean, they're not about time periods and cities when you get right down to it. They're about how people grow and change. And as I've watched Julia work through her personal relations, there's a strong romantic subplot that runs through this. And as I've watched her deal with that and how she balances that in her job and her social life, yeah, the scary thing is some of these things have not changed much over 100 years. You know, I mean,
yes.
Women still have to make choices about those things in many instances. So I think there is a relevance even today for us, you know, what was a new woman back then and what may be a traditional woman now, but the problems are very much the same.
That is true. That is true. Now, why did you pick the 1910s? What drew you to that era?
Well, again, I wanted to see how a character would react to challenges and change. And this is a wonderful period for change. I mean, we think our lives have changed a lot. But these are the people who talked on the first telephones, had the first electricity in their homes, drove the first cars. I mean, these things that just revolutionized how everyday life happened were in the midst of tremendous change in 1910. And it's a period that sort of gets, you know, I mean, it was some history books jump from the Civil War to World War I and just ignore all that social change that was happening in there. So I like that time period for that reason.
And how do your books then reflect that time period?
Well, they use the issues of the day. As I say, the real thing is the people and how they change, mostly Julia, but also Carl and William, who are the two male reporters. And each book uses issues of the day. The first one, for example, is The Good Old Summertime, and it deals with prohibition. And people think of prohibition as, you know, after 1920 and the national prohibition and, yeah, I mean, all the images of gangland and all that. But before that, in 1910, you would have sometimes a wet county seat in a dry county. Or you'd have a wet county next to a dry county. And prohibition was argued on the street corners because people had to vote on whether they were going to be wet or dry. And that sets up a real conflict that these characters dive headlong into. So that's the first book. The second book deals with race issues. It does so through the lens of ragtime. I mean, we hear ragtime now and we think, oh, that's the good old days. Isn't that sweet? But ragtime was incredibly controversial, both in the black community and the white community. And that book uses Scott Joplin and Tom Turpin, two real-life, you know, heroes of the ragtime era who are characters in it. And then the third book, this is going to sound odd, but it deals with sexual slavery. And people say, why would you pick that? And it's because, as a historian, I looked for old books. And in a flea market, I found the report from a vice commission in Chicago dealing with the issue, dealing with the sex problem. Okay? And as Julia would say, it doesn't take a genius or a man to figure out that if the heat's on in Chicago, some of these people are going to move to St. Louis. And indeed they do. And I'm glad I found that book. That one has won an award for best self-published novel here in the state of Virginia, the James River Writers, one of our big groups over around Richmond, judged it last year. And so I'm excited for that one because it did win that award. The fourth book is about women's union activities, because Julia goes undercover in a factory. In the third book, she gets involved in the Women's Trade Union League. And there is a murder within the ranks, and she works on that in the fourth book. So all of these things are issues that really bubble up, okay, in the time period, and things that those people had to deal with. The new book, by the way, is not so much issue-oriented, but William and Julia at the start of the book are in San Francisco because William is reporting on the rebuilding 5 years after the great earthquake. So I do occasionally use places other than St. Louis in the series.
Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations on the third book, Heaven Will Protect the Working Girl. As you said, it was judged the best self-published novel by the James River Writers Clubs for 2016. So that must have been very exciting for you.
It was. Writers need validation sometimes, and that was validation in a big way. So mm-hmm. I was very excited about that.
Now, I want to touch on this because you say that your books aren't so much about following a rigid genre as they are about following your characters, especially, as you mentioned, Julia, and therefore some of the books are considered mystery and the others suspense. What's the difference?
Okay. I think of mysteries as being more an intellectual exercise. The reader is wondering, along with Julia and Carl and William, who done it, and how we're going to ferret out how we're going to make sense of this situation. And that's intellectual. There is suspense within the mysteries. They're almost always in danger somewhere in the course of doing the investigation. But again, it's more an intellectual exercise. The suspense stories, which includes the third one, Heaven Will Protect the Working Girl, and the new one called Train Song, are more suspense stories. Even with the white slaver, as they were called in the day in the third book, you pretty much know who done it. The trick is, can Julia, get the goods on the man? Can she prove it by going undercover? And that becomes extremely suspenseful and dangerous for both her and William, as it turns out. And so those two books, the suspense is front and center, and the whodunit is in the background. They're more emotional than they are intellectual. And all the books have elements of both, but I think there's sort of a shifting emphasis in there. And as you say, it's because of what the characters need, what happens next in their story as they grow and change.
Exactly. It's more about following the characters. I get it. Yep.
Yes.
So what is next for Jo Allison?
Well, what is next is a new series that I'm getting ready to, I've been working on for at least a year now, because it's so heavy on research. If I move about 5 years forward from the end of the last novel, Train Song, we're in World War I. The U.S. hasn't committed yet. It's still neutral. But Carl, my character who writes for a German language newspaper, is really tired of the persecution and just the general naysaying that Germans are facing because of the war. And he decides he's going to enlist to fight with the British to make a patriotic point. And when he gets to New York City to enlist, he runs into people who say, oh, here's a well-spoken newspaper reporter who speaks perfect German. We have other uses for him. And he becomes a rather reluctant spy for the British in World War I. And this has just taken tons of research because I try never to make something up when I can find out an actual fact about it. So I'm doing tons of research and looking forward to a new espionage series, a World War I espionage series. Again, using a character from the Julia Nye series, but focusing on him and moving forward into the later part of the decade.
Oh my, so much going on.
Yes. First of all, keep doing the Julia Nye series. I mean, these characters are very real to me, mm-hmm. and I can't just leave them in limbo. So
no, they're part of
I'll keep writing.
Part of your family.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, I understand now. Well, Joe, we've talked about quite a bit in a short amount of time, but is there anything we missed that you wanted to bring up today?
Actually, I think we've covered the important things. I think these books appeal to readers who do like history. I think there are readers for whom that's an important element in reading both mystery and suspense. But I really try hard to make it about people who have the same kind of concerns that we do, even though it's 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the point.
I agree, and you even take it a step further for those who are interested in history, that you do have a website detailing what life was like in St. Louis in 1910. So why don't you give us some of those websites where folks can learn more and where they could purchase your books?
Sure. I set that one up for students because, again, I think history books sort of skip over this time period, and so there's lots of detail there. That website is 1910stlouis-by-jallison.com. And it's sort of a micro-history site. Okay? I also have two other sites. I have JoAllisonAuthor.com. That has some more background on me and some posts about writing. Right now there's a post on there about the difference between mystery and suspense, for example. And then I have my own publishing company, and it's Old Underwood Publishing, from an old 1910 typewriter that my daughter found and got for me. But it's called OldUnderwoodPublish.com. And it really focuses on the books. It has links to them. There's also a book of short stories out there called In Between Murders. And it's what the characters do, literally, in between the murders that mark the books in the series.
Well, you are quite complete here. We've got those three websites, and your main about you is joallisonauthor.com, and that's J-O-A-L-L-I-S-O-N. author.com, joallisonauthor.com, or oldunderwoodpublish.com. Well, Joe, before we head out, any final words before we say goodbye?
No, except, of course, that people can find both the paperback and Kindle versions at Amazon, and find electronic versions also on Nook. And because it's won the award, Heaven Will Protect the Working Girl is actually free on Nook as an ebook. Because I'm excited for people to read it. This sounds sort of thin, but when people read about my characters, they are alive in a sense. And I really, really enjoy that.
Oh, well, we enjoyed having you here today. I'm so happy that we had this opportunity to learn more about you. Folks, go to joallisonauthor.com. Joe, what a pleasure to share you with our listeners. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to talk with you.